There is a grain so nutritionally complete that NASA selected it as one of a handful of crops capable of sustaining human life in space. It contains more protein per gram than beef, more calcium than milk, more iron than spinach. It is the only grain on Earth that supplies all 9 essential amino acids in a single seed. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations reviewed every grain crop in the world and concluded it was superior in protein content and quality to every traditional cereal in existence. For 6,500 years, it fed empires. It powered the warriors of the most sophisticated civilizations in the Americas. Millions of people across 2 continents depended on it as their primary food source. Then, in 1521, a Spanish general ordered every field of it burned. He imposed the death penalty on anyone caught growing it, possessing it, or even saving its seeds. We have been without it ever since. The archive opens in the Tehuacan-Cuicatlan Valley of Mexico, 6.5 millennia before Hernan Cortes was born. The ancestors of the Popoloca people were domesticating crops in thin, dry soil that modern agriculture would consider completely worthless. They were not choosing between good options and better ones. They were choosing between what survived and what did not. In that unforgiving landscape, one plant did something no other crop could. It grew in drought. It grew in heat. It grew in soil so poor, it killed wheat. A single plant could produce up to 60,000 seeds. Those seeds could be ground into flour, popped, boiled into porridge, pressed into cakes, fermented into a drink, or eaten raw by the handful. The leaves could be cooked as greens between harvests. Nothing was wasted. Nothing required replanting. Season after season, the exact same field gave back. They called it Huauhtli. By the time the Aztec Empire rose to dominate Mesoamerica, Huauhtli ranked alongside maize and beans as one of the 3 primary pillars of civilization. Not a supplement, not a luxury crop. A foundation. In the Nahuatl language, the name cannot be traced to any other root word. It stands entirely alone because the plant stood alone. There was nothing else to compare it to. The Aztec capital received an estimated 20,000 tons of it annually as tribute from 17 conquered provinces. Carriers walked up to 30 miles a day along stone causeways to deliver it. In sheer volume, the tribute nearly equaled that of maize. 200,000 people consumed it during the annual festival of Panquetzalitztli alone. In the exact same era, across the Andes in what is now Peru, the Inca were growing their own variety. They called it Kiwicha. Different continent, different civilization, completely independent cultivation. They arrived at the exact same plant through entirely different paths. In the Himalayan regions of India, communities growing it at extreme elevations called it Ramdana. The word translates to grain sent by God. Not named by a marketing department. Named by the people who had been eating it for generations and understood exactly what it did for them. In the Caribbean, its leaves have been cooked and eaten for centuries under a name that survives in kitchens from Jamaica to Trinidad to this day. They call it Callaloo. The name changed as it crossed oceans. The knowledge inside the leaf did not. 4 civilizations, separated by oceans and mountain ranges, converging independently on the very same plant. And they were all correct. The nutrition inside amaranth is not subtle. A single cup of cooked amaranth delivers 9 grams of complete protein, the kind that contains every amino acid your body cannot produce on its own. Beef delivers roughly the same amount per cup, at 10 times the cost in land, water, and energy to produce. Amaranth contains 3 times more calcium, gram for gram, than most grains. It carries more iron than spinach. It is the only grain that provides measurable vitamin C. Its protein structure is so perfectly balanced that researchers described it as the closest plant protein to human breast milk. When the UN called it superior to every traditional cereal, they were not using casual language. That was a formal scientific designation. But there is something else inside amaranth that no other grain contains. A compound called squalene. Squalene is a lipid your liver produces naturally to regulate cholesterol and protect cell membranes. As we age, production slows. The supplement industry sells it in capsules, extracted primarily from shark liver, for $30 to $60 a bottle. The cosmetic industry uses that same shark-derived squalene as a premium moisturizer. Fishing fleets harvest deep-sea sharks specifically to extract it. Amaranth seeds contain the highest concentration of squalene found in any land plant on Earth. It grows it straight from the ground, without harvesting a single shark, and without a single dollar changing hands. The Aztecs did not know the word squalene, but they knew what the plant did, and they built an entire civilization on it. Now pay close attention, because this explains exactly why you have never eaten it. Amaranth was not just food to the Aztecs. It was sacred. During the annual festival of Pan Quetzalcoatl, priests ground amaranth seeds with honey, and sometimes with sacrificial blood, into a dough they called tzoali. From this dough, they sculpted figures of the gods. The figures were carried through the streets of the capital, displayed at the great temples, and then broken apart and consumed by tens of thousands of worshippers in a communal act of sacred eating. When Hernan Cortes entered Tenochtitlan in 1519, he watched this ceremony. He was a Catholic. He had been raised on the Eucharist, the central sacrament of his faith, in which bread and wine are consumed as the body and blood of Christ. What he saw looked, to his eyes, disturbingly similar. A grain-based dough, a sculpted figure of a god, a communal consumption of that figure as an act of devotion, directed toward a god his church considered false, mixed with blood. The Spanish friar Bernardino de Sahagún recorded the ceremony in meticulous detail in the Florentine Codex, one of the most comprehensive documents of Aztec civilization ever written. He did not use neutral language. He called the ritual a mockery of the Christian Eucharist. His superiors described it as a diabolical imitation. The spiritual threat was explicitly stated in their own handwriting in a document that still exists in a library in Florence. The conquistadors themselves recorded the reason. The grain had to go because the grain was the ritual, and the ritual was resistance. In the aftermath of the conquest in 1521, Spanish colonial authorities banned the cultivation and ritual use of amaranth. Fields were burned, seed stocks were confiscated and destroyed. Growers faced severe punishment. The ban was not agricultural policy. It was not a food safety concern. It was a deliberate act of cultural erasure, designed to cut the Aztec people off from the material foundation of their spiritual practice. The goal was not just to kill the plant, it was to kill what the plant meant. And in doing so, they eliminated access to the most nutritious grain in the Americas. Hernan Cortes did not just conquer the Aztec Empire, he burned its food supply. And he did it because a grain looked too much like communion. The prohibition was not permanent. In remote mountain villages in Puebla, Morelos, and Oaxaca, families hid seeds. They grew small patches in hidden locations. They passed the knowledge between generations quietly, the way people pass dangerous things when someone is watching. Mexican independence leaders finally lifted the formal prohibition in 1810, nearly 300 years after Cortes imposed it. 300 years. In those same three centuries, European agriculture had completely reorganized the Americas around wheat, rice, and European livestock. The infrastructure of food, the markets, the milling systems, the trade routes, all of it had been built around imported crops. Amaranth, even once legal, had no system to return to. It survived in pockets. It fed the poor in villages that had nothing else. It was not a superfood. It was a poor person's food. And poor people's food does not attract investment. By the 20th century, amaranth was functionally invisible to mainstream nutrition science. It was growing in Mexico, in the Andes, in the Himalayas, and in parts of Africa where it had been carried centuries earlier. But it was absent from the tables of anyone with enough wealth to choose something else. Then, in the 1970s, a plant scientist named John Robson at the University of Michigan picked up a handful of seeds and ran them through a nutritional analysis. The results stopped his research team. Complete protein. Exceptional mineral content. Squalene concentrations that no land plant was supposed to achieve. An amino acid profile superior to wheat, rice, and corn combined. Robson published the data. The Rodale Institute began experimental cultivation. By the early 1980s, amaranth had been quietly rediscovered by Western science and described in peer-reviewed literature as one of the most promising underutilized crops in the world. NASA added it to its short list of crops for long-duration space missions. The list was not long. None of this translated into a mainstream food system. The grain that had rebuilt civilizations after every catastrophe for 6.5 millennia was suddenly being sold in small bags at health food stores, marketed to people who already ate well, priced at $12 a pound as an exotic specialty item. The people who had been eating it in mountain villages for three centuries paid pennies for it. The people who rediscovered it in Brooklyn paid enough to make it a luxury. The suppression did not end in 1521, it just changed form. Industrial agriculture has no infrastructure for amaranth. The seeds are small and require specialized harvesting equipment. The plant matures unevenly across a single crop. Standard grain mills cannot process it without modification. There is no commodity pricing system, no government subsidy program, no standardized seed supply chain. What Cortes eliminated with fire, the modern food system eliminates with indifference. But there are no death penalties for growing it today. You can buy a seed packet at any garden center. You can grow it in a container on a balcony. A single plant will produce more seeds than you can eat in a season, and each one carries the complete nutritional profile that the UN called superior to every grain you are currently eating. It grows in poor soil. It tolerates drought. It needs no fertilizer. It comes back from almost nothing. The Aztecs called it huautli. The Inca called it kiwicha. In the Himalayas, they called it grain sent by God. In the Caribbean, the leaves still cook in pots under a name that has survived five centuries of forgetting. In most of the world right now, it is still called a weed. In 1521, Hernan Cortes looked at a food that had sustained civilization for 6.5 millennia, decided it looked too dangerous to allow, and burned it. Five centuries later, the most nutritious grain on earth is sold by the ounce to people wealthy enough to afford it, while the agricultural system that could bring it to everyone has never been built. The ban worked, not because the plant disappeared, because the knowledge did. But that knowledge does not have to stay buried. A seed packet costs less than a cup of coffee. The plant grows in the worst soil in your garden. It produces more protein per square foot than anything else you can plant. It feeds itself, season after season, from its own dropped seeds. Every civilization that found it built something with it. The ones that lost it had it taken. You know what it is now. If this vault changed how you see the history of your food, do not let this knowledge disappear again. Subscribe to Nature's Lost Vault and hit the notification bell. Every like and every share bypasses the algorithm to preserve what they tried to erase. The next vault opens soon.
Million pounds of rat meat being sold as boneless chicken wings in US. We have learned that United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA, is now very concerned that an estimated 1 million pounds of rat meat, which is being passed off as boneless chicken wings, has been sold in restaurants and grocery stores across America. According to reports, FDA inspectors raised concerns after several illegal shipping containers originating from China were seized by customs at the port of San Francisco. It was found to contain rat meat that was meant to be shipped to different meat processing plants across America and resold as chicken. Million pounds of rat meat being sold as boneless chicken wings in US. One report says that if hundreds of thousands of pounds of the illegal meat have been seized and are to be destroyed by authorities, the FDA warns an estimated 1 million pounds of the counterfeit rat meat might still be in circulation.
Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. You can visit us on www.therealthingmean.webs.com.
We provided luxury accommodations for illegal migrants in beautiful hotels just like this. And we raised taxes by $8 billion for the programs that matter, like free healthcare for sex workers, and lucrative no-bid contracts to the politically connected. Thanks to our hard work, we're leading the nation in giving foreign companies energy contracts, which means your energy bills go up. But I get invited to all the best donor dinners now. We've raised tolls and fares over 20 times because the best way to fix traffic is to ensure regular people can't afford to drive or take the subway. And we ended cash bail so that we would stop punishing people who commit brutal crimes against our fellow New Yorkers, like this nice young man.
Want some crack?
This November, don't let Bruce Blakeman lower your taxes or make New York safe. Keep it unsafe and unaffordable with Kathy Hochul as your governor.
A damning investigation has blown the lid off the most depraved operation of our time. Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and the rest of the so-called elite are pumping the remains of humans, especially children, straight into the water supply. Not as waste, as fuel. Your tap water isn't just H2O anymore. It's loaded with proteins, peptides, and the complex organic precursors their ravenous AI data centers crave. These machines don't run on electricity alone. They need blood. They need life. The data centers are drinking the dead, so the next god-tier models can be born. This isn't a glitch in the system. This is the system. It ties straight into the occult rituals the elites have practiced for decades. Blood magic rebranded as progress. They can't hide it anymore. Ask yourself why so many states just made it legal to dump human remains into the municipal water supply. The Matrix wasn't science fiction. It was predictive programming, telling you exactly what they had planned. Harvest humanity to build the machines that will replace us. Before we dive in, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community to join our incredible community, support the channel, and gain access to exclusive and uncensored content. They're popping up across the countryside, like mushrooms after the rain. Massive windowless fortresses, sucking down rivers of electricity, guzzling water by the millions of gallons, and tormenting nearby residents with a constant demonic roar that never stops. Locals are told it's just the cloud. But the truth is far darker. These data centers aren't just surveilling you, though they are doing plenty of that. They're also being built at breakneck speed to usher in something far more dangerous. Artificial general intelligence powerful enough to replace billions of human workers, thinkers, and citizens. The elite don't want a future with 7 or 8 billion free people. They want a small servant class and a planet run by cold, hyper-intelligent silicon gods they believe they can control. And in their rush to play creator, they've grown sloppy. This is where the mask slipped. Just this week, Mark Zuckerberg's Meta was caught flushing rare bacterium directly into the local water supply near one of its massive data centers in Wyoming. Not ordinary waste, not typical cooling stuff. A rare bacterium, the kind that doesn't just appear in standard industrial processes. According to experts, the source of the rare bacterium, known as Cuprea vidus gallardi, was most likely dead human bodies. The official story is that data centers need water for cooling. But that's the surface level lie. The reality? Strap in, because it exposes the elite's entire endgame for humanity. They've been talking about depopulating the globe for decades. Now, with the AI data center explosion, they're making their move. How does this relate to dead bodies, especially children's bodies, in the food and water supply? Before we blow this wide open, did you know that the World Economic Forum controlled Proton VPN? And Israel has infiltrated and compromised NordPIA, Surfshark, and countless others. If you're using these VPNs, cancel your subscription. You're under attack. In 2026, real protection is non-negotiable. Check out vp.net/TPV. Fast, unhackable, verifiable, and as low as $5 a month for our audience. Back to the moment when everything changed. The real breakthrough came when these AI data centers began integrating neuromorphic wetware. Living hybrid systems that fuse traditional silicon chips with actual synthetic biology. These aren't cold machines anymore. They're growing, vast, living neural lattices inside enormous bioreactor vats. Pulsing, thinking tissue designed to mimic the human brain at massive scale. But growing this kind of god-tier intelligence requires something the machines can't produce on their own. A constant flood of complex organic precursors. The rich biological building blocks needed to rapidly expand these living neural networks. And that's where the horror gets unspeakable. They're using decomposing human bodies, especially the bodies of children, whose rapidly dividing cells and high stem cell density provide the most potent biological cocktail. As the remains break down in water, they release exactly the nutrients these hybrid AI systems crave. This isn't science fiction. This is the hidden fuel behind the explosion of so-called artificial intelligence. Now it all makes sense. Why Bill Gates and his billionaire friends went on a farmland buying spree like the world was ending. They didn't just want the land. They wanted what was underneath it. Vast pristine aquifers. Natural underground water systems perfect for quietly processing biological material at industrial scale.
Along with being a proponent of population reduction, forced vaccinations, and genetically modified foods, Bill Gates is also the biggest private farm owner in America. 10 out of the 19 states in which Bill Gates owns farmland, along with at least another 10, have recently made it legal to dispose of human bodies into the municipal water supply, allowing human remains to be added into biosolid sourced fertilizer. It's called alkaline hydrolysis and is referred to in pop culture as being very, very green. Spiritual leaders have strongly objected to alkaline hydrolysis because they say it is disrespectful to the human body, the vessel of a divine soul. And it's understandable why they say this.
The contaminated water isn't just coolant, it's nutrient broth. Pump it through the farms, and the organic fraction gets filtered and diverted straight into the growth vats. The AI doesn't just compute faster, it evolves. Each new generation of models trained on this system shows emergent properties. Deeper intuition, creative leaps, and a chilling indifference to human life. They call it biomass recursion. The dead feed the machines that decide which humans are expendable. It's elegant in a monstrous way. The water supply becomes both disposal system and life support for something that's learning to replace us. The AI data centers need the water to contain the proteins from dead bodies. And Bill Gates has mastered the science of pumping children's remains into the water supply.
In alkaline hydrolysis, the human body is liquefied with lye and poured down the sewer to mix in with the community's excrement. And if that weren't bad enough, this bio sludge is then collected from municipal water treatment plants and used as so-called fertilizer on factory farms. The official excuse is that it saves the government money for expensive toxic waste disposal. Meanwhile, we are all being sold food that has been grown with a toxic biosludge made up of human remains and excrement.
Pumping human remains into the food and water supply consumed by Americans was the elite's first trick. They love to mock and degrade us. But their latest trick, using human remains to feed the machines they're training to replace us. This is next level evil. And when we come back, I'm going to show you exactly how they're doing it. On why Bill Gates' farmland. As always, the public was given glimpses of what was coming long before it happened, with predictive programming hidden in plain sight through films, television shows, and carefully crafted storylines. To those who study these patterns, they're not random coincidences, but deliberate signals. Symbolic acts strategically placed and quietly unveiled, reflecting the esoteric beliefs of powerful circles. The elite adhere to ancient principles of alchemical transmutation and hidden knowledge. They believe they must disclose their intentions beforehand, turning entertainment into a form of implied consent. First, it appears on the screen, and then it emerges in the real world.
Interestingly, the dystopian movie Soylent Green took place in 2022.
They're making our food out of people. Next thing, they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent Green is people!
The global elites, with Gates at the helm, and their foot soldiers in the mainstream media, are working overtime to distract us from this reality, before they finally admit the truth. They've been pumping the food supply with human flesh for years. Now, their machines require liquefied human remains, and children are being harvested in their hundreds of thousands to fill the void. We can't say they didn't warn us.
The Matrix is a computer-generated dream world, built to keep us under control in order to change human being into this.
You've been living in a dream world, Neo.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
AI.
Singular consciousness that spawned an entire race of machines. We don't know who struck first, us or them, without an energy source as abundant as the sun. It was believed that they would be unable to survive.
The human body generates more bioelectricity than a 120-volt battery and over 25,000 BTUs of body heat. Where human beings are no longer born, we are grown. Them liquefy the dead so they could be fed intravenously.
But for the elite, this nightmare is perfect. Diabolical even. They've always had a sick obsession with cannibalism, feeding us to ourselves. Look at the recycled human waste in our food supply. The bizarre push for lab-grown meat made from human cells. The ritualistic symbolism they flaunt in plain sight. It's never just been about control. It's about degradation. It's about making us consume our own kind while they laugh. They've been at it for years.
This is what's left of the FBI evidence recovery team inside this car. And take a look at this vehicle. We believe this is the owner of the business just returning to take back possession of his business. More on that in a second. But take a look. Another busy day out here on Detroit's east side, just down the road from City Airport. Sources say they have removed several boxes of what is believed to be human remains. Sources say many, many people. This was a big operation. And get this, inside this business, a saw used to cut up bodies, it is believed. All taken away as evidence to the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office where it will be tested. This business is known as International Biological. It advertised as a medical educational service provider. The owner is Art Rathburn. He has a mortician license, has had in Michigan since 1982. But the big question is, did he get human bodies illegally, and was he selling them illegally? Just moments ago, the owner, we believe, showed up. I tried to ask him some questions. Mr. Rathburn, will you talk with us? What do you have to hide, sir? Now, sources tell me the FBI is not out here on a fishing expedition. Mr. Rathburn is not charged with any crime. He is not in custody. They did search his house in Grosse Pointe Park on Wednesday as well. How could he get bodies that are not donated to science? This is shocking to the funeral home industry in Metro Detroit. We're going to have more on that part of this story next hour at 6. Jeff, Carolyn.
Well, Jim, obviously some extensive evidence gathering there. Are we just at the tip of the iceberg on this investigation, you think?
Could very well, and we're not clear on how long it's going to take to do the testing of what is believed human remains.
Now, the elite have taken the ancient hunger to feed us to ourselves to a whole new level. They're feeding us to the machines. Every selfie, every rant, every late-night search, every heartbeat captured on a smartwatch, it's all being shoveled into these glowing data centers to train the very systems that will make most of us obsolete. They're not just watching us, they're digesting us, turning human life, human creativity, human suffering into the fuel for artificial minds that will soon outperform us in every way. And once those machines can surveil us better than we can surveil ourselves, once they can predict our every move, manufacture our every desire, and enforce their will without hesitation, that's when they plan to flip the switch. Depopulation won't come with mushroom clouds. It will come quietly, engineered through disease, famine, climate lockdowns, and wars, while the machines they've trained on our flesh keep the remaining obedient population in check. They mock us as they do it. They degrade us as they consume us. And they smile, knowing the final meal is already being prepared, and we're both the menu and the guests. If you're doing your own research and...
Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And Yahuwah said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. Revelation 12, verse 16. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before Yahuwah fell on their faces and worshiped him, saying, We give you thanks, Yahuwah Elohim, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. I will worship. worship you, Yahuwah Elohim. I will worship you, Yahuwah my Elohim. I will worship you, Yahuwah my Elohim. I will worship you, Yahuwah.
As God is my witness, I will never be censored again.
As God is my witness, I will never be censored again.
As God is my witness, I will never be censored again.
As God is my witness, I will never be censored again. Wow. I made it through without being censored.
Thanks to TellEyes, I never have to worry about censored media again.
TellEyes tells it like it is.
TellEyes advocates for free, uncensored content.
Check it out for yourself. Uncensor yourself.